Saturday, September 27th. Ember Saturday. Lesson from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. In those days, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Upon the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be most solemn, and shall be called holy. And you shall afflict your souls on that day, and shall offer a holocaust to the Lord. You shall do no servile work in the time of this day, because it is a day of propitiation, that the Lord your God may be merciful unto you. Every soul that is not afflicted on this day shall perish from among his people. And every soul that shall do any work, the same will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no work therefore on that day. It shall be an everlasting ordinance unto you in all your generations and dwellings. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls beginning on the 9th day of the month. From evening until evening you shall celebrate your Sabbaths, saith the Lord Almighty." Haydock Commentary. This Day of Atonement was to be kept like the Sabbath, so that even meat could not be made ready on it lawfully. It was difficult for any adult to be entirely guiltless amid such a variety of precepts, which St. Peter says neither they nor their fathers could bear, see Acts 15:10. And St. James observes in chapter 3, "In many things we all offend." If any proved so happy as to keep without blame, they were bound at least to grieve for the injury done to God by their fellow members. From evening until evening. The Church adopts this custom in her divine office. The Jewish day began and ended with sunset. See Exodus 12:6. Lesson from Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 43. In those days the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "From the 15th day of the 7th month, when you shall have gathered in all the fruits of your land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day and the 8th day shall be a Sabbath, that is, a day of rest. And you shall take to you on the 1st day the fruits of the fairest tree, and branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall keep the solemnity thereof 7 days in the year. It shall be an everlasting ordinance in your generations. In the 7th month you shall celebrate this feast, and you shall dwell in bowers 7 days. Every one that is of the race of Israel shall dwell in tabernacles, that your posterity may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in tabernacles when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Haydock Commentary. "You shall rejoice dancing and singing before the altar of holocausts." See 2 Kings 6:14. The wisdom of God shines forth in thus attaching to his worship a carnal people, by intermingling with the most solemn ceremonies some relaxation and pleasure. By calling them together so often in the year, they became also better acquainted with one another, and more in love with their religion and country. Ancient lawgivers entertained like sentiments, but pagans generally carry these diversions to excess. In this chapter we find 6 festivals specified: the Sabbath, Passover, Pentecost, Trumpets, Expiation, and Tabernacles, lasting till the octave day of assembly and collection. These 3 last were celebrated in the 7th month, the 1st of the civil year. There was also a feast on all the new moons. See Exodus 28:11. Lesson from Micah chapter 7, verses 14, 16, and 18 through 20. O Lord our God, feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thy inheritance, them that dwell alone in the forest, according to the days of old. The nations shall see and shall be confounded at all their strength. Who is a God like to thee, who taketh away iniquity and passeth by the sin of the remnant of thy inheritance? He will send his fury in no more, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and have mercy on us. He will put away our iniquities, and he will cast all our sins into the bottom of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn to our fathers from the days of old, O Lord our God." Haydock Commentary. "Them that dwell alone in the forest, that is, destitute of all things." See Jeremiah 15:17. God will feed his people in the most fertile places. Likewise, a pastor must maintain sound doctrine and discipline. He will send his fury in no more, that is, for past offenses. Yet if they transgress again, they must not expect impunity. The Jews still bleed for the murder of the Messiah. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, the mercy to Abraham. That is, performing what he had promised out of mercy to Abraham. Lesson from Zechariah chapter 8, verses 14 through 19. In those days the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, As I purposed to afflict you when your fathers had provoked me to wrath, and I had no mercy, so turning again, I have thought in these days to do good to the house of Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. These then are the things which you shall do. Speak ye truth every one to his neighbor. Judge ye truth and judgment of peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his friend. And love not a false oath. For all these are the things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and great solemnities. Only love ye truth and peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Haydock Commentary. Friend refers to every neighbor or all mankind. See Luke 10:27 and 36. Even our thoughts must be guarded. They fasted on the ninth day of the fourth month, because on that day Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem. See Jeremiah 52:6. They fasted on the tenth day of the fifth month, because on that day the temple was burnt. See Jeremiah 52:12. They fasted on the third day of the seventh month for the murder of God Elias. See Jeremiah 41:2. And they fasted on the tenth day of the tenth month, because on that day the Chaldeans began to besiege Jerusalem. See 2 Kings 25:1. All these fasts, if they will be obedient for the future, shall be changed, as is here promised, into joyful solemnities. Lesson from Daniel chapter 3, verses 47 through 51. In those days the angel of the Lord went down with Azarias and his companions into the furnace, and he drove the flame of the fire out of the furnace, and made the midst of the furnace like the blowing of a wind bringing dew. But the flame mounted up above the furnace 49 cubits, and it broke forth, and burnt such of the Chaldeans, the king's servants, as it found heating it. And the fire touched them not at all, nor troubled them, nor did them any harm. Then these three, as with one mouth, praised and glorified, and blessed God in the furnace, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is thy holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Blessed art thou in the temple of thy holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever. Blessed art thou on the holy throne of thy kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed art thou upon the scepter of thine divinity, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed art thou who look into the depths from thy throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed art thou who walk upon the wings of the wind and on the waves of the sea, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Let all thine angels and saints bless thee, and praise thee, and exalt thee above all forever. Let the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them bless thee, and praise thee, and exalt thee above all forever. Haydock Commentary. The fire destroyed the Chaldeans while it had no power to hurt God's servants. The operation of the laws of nature was thus only restrained. The Epistle from the Letter to the Hebrews chapter 9, verses 2 through 12. Brethren, there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein were the candlesticks, and the table, and the setting forth of loaves, which is called the holy. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holy of holies, having a golden censer, and the ark of the testament covered about on every part with gold, in which was a golden pot that had manna, and the rod of Aaron that had blossomed, and the tables of the testament. And over it were the cherubims of glory, overshadowing the propitiatory, of which it is not needful to speak now particularly. Now these things being thus ordered, into the first tabernacle the priests indeed always entered, accomplishing the offices of sacrifices. But into the second, the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offereth for his own and the people's ignorance. The Holy Ghost signifying this, that the way into the holies was not yet made manifest, whilst the former tabernacle was yet standing, which is a parable of the time present, according to which gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot, as to the conscience, make him perfect that serveth, only in meats and in drinks, and diverse washings, and justices of the flesh laid on them until the time of correction. But Christ, being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. Haydock Commentary. By the words first tabernacle is signified the sanctuary or place for worshiping God ordained by Moses, which was an oratory to be moved from place to place with the Israelites, which they kept afterwards and had a resemblance of in the temple. This tabernacle consisted of two parts, which St. Paul here calls the first and second. The first part was called the holy, which was separated from the rest of the temple by a veil. In this first part were the candlesticks, that is, one candlestick having seven branches in which were placed lamps, and a table on which were placed 12 loaves, according to the number of the tribes, to be changed every week. After the second veil or partition was the second or inward part, called the Holy of Holies. The first veil was at the entrance of the holy place and separated it from the outward court. The second veil separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The ark was certainly in the Holy of Holies, in which was the golden urn with a measure of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the testament, or the tablets of stone, on which were engraven the Ten Commandments. Nothing but these tablets were actually within the ark, so that when it is said, in which was the golden urn and the rod of Aaron, the meaning seems to be that they were indeed in the Holy of Holies with the ark, but not within the ark. The Apostle describes these things as they were in the tabernacle which Moses constructed in the desert. We see with what great and continued respect and veneration the manna and Aaron's rod were kept by the Jews. And shall not Christians be allowed to preserve with equal respect the monuments of God's mercies and tokens of Christ's passion? See St. Cyril's work against Julian, where he defends against the apostate the keeping and honoring the cross on which Christ died. See also in the works of St. Jerome and St. Paulinus what reverence the faithful in those early periods of the Church paid to the sepulchres of Christ and his martyrs, as also to their relics. We reverence and worship, says St. Paulinus, the sepulchres of the martyrs, and if we can, we apply the holy ashes to our eyes and mouth. Just over the propitiatory were placed the two cherubs, spreading their wings and looking towards one another. From this place God made known his presence and the effects of his mercy to the people. Here he was said to be seated on the cherubim, and that the ark was his footstool. These two images of cherubs show that God did not absolutely forbid images at that time, when the people were so addicted to idolatry, but he only forbade adoring them. How futile is it to object from the commandment that it is forbidden to use holy images in the church, when we here behold even amongst the people most prone to idolatry, most gross in their ideas of spiritual things, and to whom the precept was specially given not to make any graven idols, the same God commanding these images of angels to be made and set in the most holy place of the tabernacle. The priests, as he tells us, entered every day, that is, by turns, to make the offering of incense morning and night, also to change the loaves, to take care of the lambs, etc. But we must not think that they offered in that place victims or holocausts of sheep, lambs, oxen, etc. This was not done in any part of the sanctuary, neither before nor after the building of the temple, but in a place or court adjoining the tabernacle, upon a large altar of 5 cubits long and as many broad. See Exodus chapter 27 and chapter 38. Into the Holy of Holies no one entered but the high priest, and he only once a year, on the feast called of expiation, to make an aspersion of blood upon the ark and round about, which he offered for his own and the people's ignorance, that is, for his and all their sins. See Leviticus chapter 10. He offered the blood of a calf for his own sins and those of his family, and the blood of a goat for the sins of the people. See Leviticus chapter 16. The Apostle begins to tell us in what manner the sanctuary was a figure of the things in the new law of Christ. The Holy of Holies was a figure of heaven, and this prohibition of anyone going into it was to signify that the way to heaven was not to be made manifest, nor to be opened, as long as the former tabernacle and law subsisted, that it was not to be opened until Christ, the high priest of the New Testament, first entered by shedding his blood on the cross and by his glorious ascension. But when Christ expired, the veil of the temple was rent asunder to show that the way to heaven was now laid open to mankind. Christ has entered by a more perfect tabernacle, that is, not passing like the priests of the former law into a tabernacle made by human art and hands, but by the tabernacle of his own body or flesh, framed by the Holy Ghost. So says St. John Chrysostom. Another difference and preeminence of Christ above the priests of the law of Moses is that they could only offer the blood of beasts, but Christ entered into heaven by the effusion of his own precious blood in his sufferings, by this having found an eternal redemption for mankind, having satisfied for the sins of all men in the sight of God. By that one sacrifice of his blood, once offered on the cross, Christ our Lord paid and exhibited once for all the general price and ransom of all mankind, which no other priest could do. The force of the apostles' reasoning here is to convince the Jews of the inefficacy of the legal sacrifices and of the virtue of the Christian sacrifice. The Gospel from Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 17. At that time, Jesus spoke to the multitude this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And he said to the dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, for these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, therefore, why cumbereth it the ground?" But he answering said to him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, until I dig about it and dung it, and if happily it bear fruit. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And he was teaching in their synagogue on their Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together, neither could she look upwards at all. Whom when Jesus saw, he called her unto him, and said to her, "Woman, thou art delivered from thy infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, being angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, answering, said to the multitude, 6 days there are wherein you ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord answering him said, "Ye hypocrites, doth not every one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the manger and lead them to water? And ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the things that were gloriously done by him. Haydock Commentary. Each one, inasmuch he holds a place in this life, if he produce not the fruit of good works, like a barren tree, encumbers the ground, because the place he holds, were it occupied by others, might be a place of fertility. So says St. Gregory. The president of the synagogue, when he saw the woman, who before crept on the ground, now raised by the touch of Christ, and hearing the mandate of God, was filled with envy and decried the miracle, apparently through solicitude for keeping the Sabbath. But the truth is, he would rather see the poor woman bent to the earth like a beast than see Christ glorified by healing her. So says St. Cyril.